I'm delighted to be joined by Mike Shea. Mike Shea has written a book of Along the Banks, which is one man's odyssey of getting to know the Royal Canal here in Dublin. So good afternoon, Mike. How are you? Welcome to the programme, and how are things with yourself?
Very good, Ken. Thanks for having me on, and congratulations on that championship. This is kind of like putting the team back together.
Putting the band back together, yes, indeed.
you and I did the commentary at the All-Star game for the softball Leinster.
Yep.
And so we're teaming up again to do this interview, and hopefully it'll go just as well.
Well, hopefully it will. Just a little bit about yourself, and people are listening to him saying, you know, this guy's written a book about the Royal Canal. He doesn't sound like he's from around here.
No, I'm originally from around Boston, Massachusetts, and Western Massachusetts, which ties into the book a little bit as well, and moved here about 20 years ago. And where I was working, we were doing a charity ride. We were going to do the Ring of Kerry, and I hadn't been on a bike in about 30 years.
Yes, yeah.
So I had to find a way to train. And wanted to do it without having to take to the streets of Dublin, where, you know, it's very likely you get run over. So I found the Royal Canal, and I started cycling up and down it. And as I did, I ran into more and more things that were, you know, just interesting, or I wanted to investigate, or I thought, you know, would be something worth telling people about. And as a result, this book came up.
Well, I have to say, I mean, in terms of my work career, you know, I've been working an awful lot in marketing. But, you know, over the last 20 years, we've seen the increase of, you know, digital technology. And you have the information superhighway now. But tell me a bit about canals, just before we get to the Royal Canal itself. And, you know, how the canal was the, not saying the information, but it was the superhighway of its day.
It was. And one of the reasons why the Royal Canal was built is that the Grand Canal, which was the first one, was so successful. And this was around the 1830s that railroads came in and supplanted canals. But up until then, this was how people
got goods from one place.
Around,
or got themselves.
The roads weren't that good.
Yeah.
And so they would build canals, and there would be intricate canal systems. And the Royal and the Grand are actually the two most prominent of the Irish canals. But there are plenty of others, and you can probably find them as you go around the country. There are vestiges of them, or some of them still remain.
Well, obviously, just, you know, as the notable thing for ourselves, you know, looking at the Royal Canal, because I cycle over it every day going into work, it does go along by Croke Park. So really, it starts in Dublin. Where does it end up?
It ends up all the way out at the Shannon. It goes to Clundra, which is on the Longford-Roscommon border. So when you get on the Royal Canal and cycle the entire length, you can go from the Liffey here in the Dublin right up to the Shannon. And, of course, from the Shannon, you can head out and go to the Atlantic coast and the Wild Atlantic Way. So they're planning to do a greenway the entire length. I think it's one of the most important projects that the government can undertake right now, because it's really low-hanging fruit. It'll become a bucket list destination for cycle tourism. And this book is something that I hope promotes that in a way. But the book is more than just a guidebook, and it has to be now, because you and I know that everybody carries a guidebook in their pocket now that's their phone.
Yeah.
You can look at your phone,
shouldn't
find
get
out
lost.
Where you are and how far it is to the next point. So the book had to do a little more than just tell you point to point. It had to tell a few stories. It had to get into some of the lore of the canal. It tells a few jokes. In fact, I've got what purports to be the world's funniest joke.
I saw that on the back cover, but let's not go with the world's funniest joke, because let's make people, you know, go buy the book so you can see the world's funniest joke. But I mean, you have other things in the book, like you're saying, there's a connection between that and, you know, the space-time continuum.
There absolutely is. I'm looking at it right now. You cycle into work every day, and you probably pass this, and you may not have noticed it too often, but there's a plaque at Broome Bridge to William Rowan Hamilton, Sir William Rowan Hamilton.
Famous mathematician.
He was a mathematician who was working on a way to express three dimensions in a mathematical formula. And to do that, he suddenly realized, as he's walking across the Royal Canal at Broome Bridge, that he had to postulate the existence of a fourth dimension.
Okay.
So by doing that, he was able to express things in three dimensions. So he wouldn't forget what he had just come up with. He scratched the formula into the stones of the bridge.
Oh, very good.
And that plaque commemorates exactly where he did that. And every 16th of October, there's actually a walk that's attended by a number of very prominent scientists and celebrities that goes and retraces his route from Dunsink Observatory, which is, you can see from the banks of the canal, all the way into town. It drew such people as Murray Gell-Mann. Murray Gell-Mann.
Yeah, I've read the book. What's the name of his book? Quark and the Jaguar.
Yes, and he invented quarks.
Yes.
He got the name from a passage in Finnegan's Wake, James Joyce, which proves that he's the first person to describe subatomic matter in that way. He's also the first person to have actually read Finnegan's Wake. So possibly
he would be. And he was a liar as well, as along with everyone else who said they've read Ulysses. What's the original Bloody Sunday?
The original Bloody Sunday is the one that you saw in Michael Collins. And that's where...
I didn't see Michael Collins explain.
Well, a lot of people will. It was just on the telly. During the War of Independence, there was an undertaking by Michael Collins and his operatives to eliminate a number of British intelligence agents. As retribution, the British went into Croke Park during the middle of a match.
Oh, okay, yep.
And massacred a number of people there. Some of the stands are still named after people who fell during that time. And, of course, the canal goes right underneath Croke Park.
Yeah.
So you start on the canal, and you immediately go. There's a statue to Luke Kelly down by the Liffey now.
Yeah, I've seen that, yep. Cycle by that, too.
Yeah, and then there's Croke Park. And then from Croke Park, you go to the Bean statue that's up at Cross Guns, the area of Phibsborough. And then from that, you're immediately around Glasnevin Cemetery. And all of these things are right on the canal. It's a natural tourist way to go through Dublin and see all of these sites. And then beyond into the country. So it's a great way to get to know Ireland's history. You know, the scenery is spectacular, the wildlife, the flowers, everything that you can see along there. It just lends itself to this kind of tourism. And you can cycle it without worrying about somebody mowing you down at an intersection. It's a great way to get to know Ireland.
I wouldn't quite go say that far, because you'll have to cross the roads at various points.
There's long stretches, and that's why...
Absolutely.
That's why we were talking about You're So Vain, because you can actually put the headphones on and listen to music. And one of the things, one of the songs that I came on when I was cycling is that one. It triggered a memory in me. I was at a concert. I was working for a friend of mine. I was just carrying cable around for the day. She was one of the performers. You're So Vain is very much a song about a single woman, but there's also a major male backing vocal, and Mick Jagger did it on the record. And at this concert, I was watching as she was performing, and I got this tap on my shoulder, and I turned around and I looked, and it was Tom Jones, who'd performed earlier in the day. He was going to do the backing vocal. I let him go by.
You Tom Jones says, no, sorry, I'm doing this. I have a Tom.
Yeah, no, I gave it up. I let Tom take the backing vocal that day. But it was really a memorable time. That's the kind of thing that can happen when you're cycling the canal. You can have the music on. It triggers all these memories, and off you go. So that's a harder thing to do when you're trying to road cycle. You get a nice, peaceful place like this, and it can happen all the time.
So in terms of, as you said, you're doing the training for the Ring of Kerry, and you're looking to do 180 kilometres, which is a long cycle in one day, to be honest, because I've driven the Ring of Kerry, and it goes up and down and up and down and up and down, which is...
I've done it four times now.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I try and do it every year if I can. And, you know, it's a challenge. It's great. It's for charity, but you certainly have to train in order to do it, and that's why the Royal Canal was just a godsend for me, because it gave me a chance to get out there on the bike and just go.
Keep going. So, I mean, do you know how long it is from the basin in the Liffey to the Shannon?
It's about 140 kilometers.
So if you did, 34, you could do 2-3 days in that and take it easy, if I could call it that.
In the book, I say that there's a number of ways you can do it. You can be the tourist way, 2 or 3 days. You can be a day tripper and just do a stretch of the canal.
Yeah, just cycle back.
Or you can do the challenge ride, which is you get on the bike and you just go until you get to the end. It can be done in a day. If you can do 180 kilometers around the Ring of Kerry, you can certainly do a flat stretch along the canal. There's a few challenges on the canal. There are parts that are still not completely paved, where you're just cycling along a towpath, so you're better off with a hybrid or with a trail bike.
Yeah, rather than a road bike.
Rather than a road bike. Yeah. But there are more and more parts being developed, and I really think that if you do end up with a cyclable trail the entire way. It's going to be the kind of thing that draws people to the canal and to Ireland from all over the world.
Well, I say there is plenty happening along the canal. I say, talking about the All-Star game there, you know, softball. I mean, the first time I met you was probably 20 years ago when you were playing for the Japanese team.
Yes.
And I probably shouldn't say this in time, but at the time I had a reputation for the probably the angriest, most argumentative player in Irish softball. You served me on the first day I met you.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to let you one-up me on that one.
Oh, there you go.
We've made up since then, and we've gone on to form a partnership now. So our broadcast team, I think, took the kudos away at the All-Star game, so we'll continue to do that. I hope to see you out on the canal and see a lot more people out on the canal and read the book, because not only it's my book. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm. So I tell jokes. I tell stories about things that went on when I was traveling. You know, was in Boston with Fenway Park, and, you know, tie it all into the canal. But you need a book that has a few of those sorts of side tangents now, because, like I said, everybody's got their guidebook in their back pocket with their phone. So it's good that they can sit down and read something about how the towns along the canal, who live there, and what do they do, and who wrote
what,
who lived there. And also it ties back into where I grew up. There's a couple of towns out in western Massachusetts called Lenox and Richmond. And when I got to the end of the canal, it's Richmond Harbor. And I found out it was named after a guy named Charles Lennox, who was the Duke of Richmond. I was like, well,
okay.
How could that be? You know,
what's the connection?
Just a coincidence or what? Turns out it's not. It was named after the towns where I grew up, Richmond and Lennox, were named after
these two guys.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
The reason they changed it is the town split up. They didn't want to not name themselves after him. So one town named themselves Richmond after his title, and the other named themselves Lennox after his last name. And the reason they did it is he was actually one of the only British aristocrats who supported the Declaration of Independence and Americans in their independence movement. And so he was known as the Radical Duke, and they named their towns after him. And a few years ago, they were going through his papers, and it turns out that there was this partially rat-eaten paper in there. They unfolded it, and it was an original copy of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, my God.
One of the few that were ever found. So read the book. You can get stories like that out of the book. I tell ghost stories and things like that. There was a Gabby Schruel has a legend about a ghost that appears along the banks of the canal, and, you know,
so it's much more than a guidebook.
More than a guidebook. It's an entertainment. It's something I think that people will get a lot out of. It has the world's funniest joke, according to
People have to buy the book to read that. You have to buy the book to read it. So just a couple of quick questions before we wrap up.
Yeah.
You cycle along it. I dare say you stop. Where's the best point on the canal?
To me, I think the best point on the canal appears at both ends. It's kind of a tie. Coming out of Dublin, and you go by all the things I talked about in Mountjoy Prison and Glasnevin, and you really get a feel for the city. You know, when I came here first, we lived in Phibsborough, and the canal goes right through there.
Yep.
I think it's one of the ways to see a part of the city that often gets neglected in the tourist areas. They'll bring you down to Kilmainham, they'll bring you down to O'Connell Street, they'll bring you down to Guinness Brewery. This deserves to be seen as well. So I thought that was a high point. And then as you cycle the canal and you get to the end, you come into Richmond Harbor. You can see on either side there's enormous bogs where they're harvesting turf, and you're coming towards the buildings at the end. It really is a nice vista, a different part of rural Ireland. And bogs, of course, are extremely important for anybody who travels the canal, because they're all up and down along the canal. And one of the best preservatives of history in Ireland are the bogs. So I tell stories throughout about bodies being found in the bogs, books from thousands of years ago. And then my favorite one is just outside of Abbey Shrule, this place called Clonbrin. They dug up a leather shield from about 2,000 years ago. And it turns out these academics tested it, and hardened leather was actually better as a shield against swords than metal was. And they tested it by taking a sword and bashing in a metal shield and fell apart, and then trying it against a leather shield, which held up to it.
Yeah.
And I just have this picture of these two academic professors in tweed coats sitting there with swords, banging each other with shields. It's sort of like a Monty Python skit.
But, okay, but, you know, but probably let's need to wrap the most important question. Where can I buy the book?
You can get the book at amazon.com.uk. Yep.
And what do I search for?
Look for Along the Banks, and my name, Michael Shea. It's at reputable and disreputable bookstores throughout Ireland, so Dubray Books. You can pick it up there. You can also get it at the publisher's website, which is eprint.com.
Okay. So thanks very much for that, Mike. I really appreciate you taking the time to come into the studio today. Do go out, buy the book. And if you're around the area, I mean, it starts, you know, Drumcondra, literally, goes all the way to the Shannon. Great trips along it. Get yourself out, get on the bike, go for a walk.